the rest quickly. "This is pretty good," I said. "Not strong at all." Jeremiah burst out laughing. "That's because yours is 95% water." Conrad laughed too, and I glared at them both. "That's not fair," I said. "I want to drink what you guys are drinking."
"Sorry, but we don't serve minors here," Jeremiah said, falling next to me on the floor.
I punched him on the shoulder. "You're a minor too, dummy." "We all are."
"Yeah, but you're really a minor," he said. "My mom would kill me."
It was the first time any of us had mentioned Susanna. My eyes darted over to Conrad, but his face was blank. I let out a breath. And then I had an idea. The best idea ever. I jumped up and opened the doors of the TV console. I ran my fingers along the drawers of DVDs and home videos, all neatly labeled in Susanna's slanted cursive handwriting. I found what I was looking for.
"What are you doing?"
Jeremiah asked me. "Just wait," I said, my back to them. I turned on the TV and popped in the video. On the screen, there was Conrad, age 12, with braces and bad skin. He was lying on a beach blanket, scowling. He wouldn't let anybody take a picture of him that summer. Mr. Fisher was behind the camera, as always, saying, "Come on, say happy 4th of July, Connie." Jeremiah and I looked at each other and burst out laughing. Conrad glared at us. He made a move for the remote, but Jeremiah got to it first. He held it above his head, laughing breathlessly. The two of them started wrestling around, and then they stopped. The camera had focused in on Susanna. Wearing her big beach hat and a long white shirt over her bathing suit.
"Suze, honey, how do you feel today on our nation's birthday?"
She rolled her eyes.
"Give it a rest, Adam. Go videotape the kids."
And then from under her hat, she smiled. That slow, deep down smile. It was the smile of a woman who really and truly loved the person holding the video camera. Conrad stopped fighting for the remote, and he watched for a moment. Then he said,
"Turn it off."
Jeremiah said, "Come on, man, let's just watch." Conrad didn't say anything, but he didn't stop watching either. And then the camera was on me, and Jeremiah was laughing again. Conrad, too. This was what I was waiting for. I knew it would get a laugh. Me, wearing huge glasses and a rainbow-striped tankini, my round stomach popping over the bottoms like a 4-year-old's. I was screaming at the top of my lungs, running away from Stephen and Jeremiah. They were chasing me with what they claimed was a jellyfish, but what I later found out was a clump of seaweed. Jeremiah's hair was white blonde in the sunlight, and he looked exactly the way I remembered.
"Bells, you look like a beach ball," he said, gasping with laughter.
I laughed, too, a little.
"Watch it," I said.
That summer was really great. All our summers here were really great. Great didn't even begin to describe them. Silently, Conrad got up, and then he came back with the tequila. He poured us each some, and this time, mine wasn't watered down. We all took a shot together, and when I gulped mine down, it burned so bad, tears streamed down my face. Conrad and Jeremiah started cracking up again.
"Suck on the lime," Conrad told me, so I did.
Soon I felt warm and lazy and great. I lay down on the floor with my hair fanned out, and I stared up at the ceiling and watched the fan turn round and round. When Conrad got up and went to the bathroom, Jeremiah rolled over to his side.
"Hey, Belly,"
he said.
"Truth or dare?"
"Don't be dumb," I said.
"Oh, come on. Play with me, Bells.
Please." I rolled my eyes and sat up. "Dare." His eyes had that trickster's glint. I hadn't seen that look in his eyes since before Susanna got sick again.
I dare you to kiss me. Old school style. I've learned a lot since the last time.
I laughed. Whatever I had been expecting him to say, it hadn't been that. Jeremiah tilted his face up at me, and I laughed again. I leaned forward, pulled his chin toward me, and kissed him on the cheek with a loud smack. "Aw, man," he protested. "That's not a real kiss." "You didn't specify," I said, and my face felt hot.
"Come on, Bells," he said. "That's not how we kissed that other time."
Conrad came back into the room then, wiping his hands on his jeans. He said,
"What are you talking about, Jer? Don't you have a girlfriend?"
I looked at Jeremiah, whose cheeks were flaming. "You have a girlfriend?" I heard the accusation in my voice, and I hated it. It wasn't like Jeremiah owed me anything. It wasn't like he belonged to me. But he always let me feel like he did. All this time together, and he never once mentioned that he had a girlfriend. I couldn't believe it. I guessed I wasn't the only one keeping secrets, and the thought made me sad.
"We broke up. She's going to school at Tulane, and I'm staying around here. We decided there's no point in staying together."
He glared at Conrad and then glanced back at me.
"And we've always been off and on. She's crazy."
I hated the idea of him with some crazy girl, some girl who he liked enough to go back to over and over.
"Well, what's her name?" I asked.
He hesitated.
"Mara,"
he said at last. The alcohol in me gave me the courage to say, "Do you love her?" This time he didn't hesitate.
"No,"
he said. I picked at a pizza crust and said, "Okay, my turn. Conrad, truth or dare?" He was lying on the couch, face down.
"Never said I was playing."
"Chicken," Jeremiah and I said together. "Jinx," we said at the same time.
"You guys are 2-year-olds,"
Conrad muttered. Jeremiah got up and started doing his chicken dance. "Bawk, bawk, bawk, bawk." "Truth or dare?" I repeated. Conrad groaned.
"Truth."
I was so pleased Conrad was playing with us, I couldn't think of anything good to ask. I mean, there were a million and one things I wanted to ask him. I wanted to ask him what had happened to us. If he'd ever liked me. If any of it had been real. But I couldn't ask those things. Even through my tequila haze, I knew that much. Instead, I asked, "Remember that summer you liked that girl who worked at the boardwalk? Angie?"
"No,"
he said, but I knew he was lying.
"What about her?"
"Did you ever hook up with her?" Conrad finally lifted his head up from the couch.
"No,"
he said. "I don't believe you."
"I tried. Once. But she socked me in the head and said she wasn't that kind of girl. I think she was a Jehovah's Witness or something."
Jeremiah and I busted up laughing. Jeremiah was laughing so hard, he doubled over and fell to his knees.
"Oh, man," he gasped. "That's awesome."
And it was. I knew it was only because he'd had about a case of beer. But Conrad loosening up, telling us things, it felt awesome. Like a miracle. Conrad propped himself up on his elbow.
"Okay. My turn."
He was looking at me like we were the only two people in the room. And suddenly I was terrified. And elated. But then I looked over at Jeremiah, watching the two of us, and just as suddenly, I was neither. Solemnly, I said, "Nuh-uh, you can't ask me, 'cause I just asked you. It's the law."
"The law?"
he repeated. "Yeah," I said, leaning my head against the couch.
"Aren't you at least curious about what I was going to ask?"
"Nope. Not even one iota." Which was a lie. Of course I was curious. I was dying to know. I reached over and poured some more tequila into my cup, and then I stood up, my knees shaking. I felt lightheaded.
To our last night.
We already toasted to that, remember?
Jeremiah said. I stuck my tongue out at him. Okay, then. The tequila made me feel brave again. This time, it let me say what I really wanted to say. What I'd been thinking all night. Here's to. Here's to everybody that isn't here tonight. To my mom, and to Stephen, and to Susanna most of all. Okay? Conrad looked up at me. For a minute, I was afraid of what he would say. And then he lifted his cup too, and so did Jeremiah. We all swigged from our cups together, and it burned like liquid fire. I coughed a little. When I sat back down, I asked Jeremiah, "So, who's coming to this party?" He shrugged.
"Some kids from the country club pool from last summer. They're telling people, too. Oh, and Mikey and Pete and those guys."
I wondered who Mikey and Pete and those guys were. I also wondered if I should clean up before people came. "What time are people coming over?" I asked Jeremiah. He shrugged.
10? 11?
I jumped up. "It's already almost 9! I have to get dressed," Conrad said.
"Aren't you already dressed?"
I didn't even bother to answer him. I just shot upstairs. Chapter 30. I had the contents of my duffel bag dumped out on the floor when Taylor called, which was when I remembered that it was Saturday. It felt like I'd been gone much longer. Then I remembered that it was the 4th of July, and I was supposed to be on a boat with Taylor and Davis and everyone. Gulp. "Hey, Taylor," I said. "Hey, where are you?" Taylor didn't sound mad, which was kind of freaky. Still in Cousins? Sorry I didn't make it back in time for the boat party. From the pile of clothes, I picked out a chiffoni one-shoulder blouse and tried it on. Whenever Taylor wore it, she wore her hair pulled to the side. "It's been raining all day, so we canceled the boat party. Corey's having a party tonight at his brother's condo instead. What about you?" "I think we're having a party, too. Jeremiah just bought a ton of beer and tequila and stuff," I said, adjusting the blouse. I wasn't sure how much shoulder I was supposed to be showing. "A party?" she squealed. "I want to come!" I tried to wiggle my foot into one of Taylor's platform sandals. I wished I hadn't mentioned the party or the tequila. Lately, Taylor was crazy for tequila body shots. "What about Corey's party?" I said. "I heard his brother's condo has a jacuzzi. You love jacuzzis." "Oh, yeah. Darn. But I want to party with you guys, too. Beach parties are the funnest," she said. "Anyway, I heard from Rachel Spiro that a bunch of freshman sluts are coming now. It might not even be worth it to go. OMG, maybe I should just get in my car and drive to Cousins. By the time you got here, everybody would be gone. You should probably just go to Corey's." I heard a car pull into the driveway. People were already here, so it wasn't like I was lying to her. I was about to tell Taylor I had to go when she said in a little voice, "Do you, like, not want me to come?" "I didn't say that," I said. "You basically did." "Taylor," I began. But I didn't know what to say next, because she was right. I didn't want her to come. If she came, it would be all about her, the way it always was. This was my last night in Cousins, in this house. I was never going to be inside this house again, ever. I wanted tonight to be about me and Conrad and Jeremiah. Taylor waited for me to say something, to deny it at least. And when I didn't, she spat out, "I can't even believe how selfish you are, Belly." "Me? Yes, you. You keep your summer house and your summer boys all to yourself, and you don't want to share anything with me. We finally get to spend a whole summer together, and you don't even care. All you care about is being in Cousins, with them. She sounded so spiteful. But instead of feeling guilty the way I normally would, I just felt annoyed. Taylor, I said, quit saying my name like that. Like how? Like I'm a child. Well, then maybe you shouldn't act like one just because you aren't invited somewhere. As soon as I said it, I regretted it. Screw you, Belly! I put up with a lot. You are a really crappy best friend. You know that? I let out a breath. Taylor! Shut up! She gasped. Don't you dare tell me to shut up. I have been nothing but supportive of you, Belly. I listen to all your Conrad BS, and I don't even complain. When you guys broke up, who was the one who spoon-fed you Chunky Monkey and got you out of bed? Me! And you don't even appreciate that. You're, like, hardly even fun anymore. Sarcastically, I said, Gee, Taylor, I'm so sorry I'm not fun anymore. Having someone you love die can do that. Don't do that. Don't just blame it on that. You've been chasing after Conrad for as long as I've known you. It's getting pathetic. Get over it. He doesn't like you. Maybe he never did. That was maybe the meanest thing she'd ever said to me. I think she might have apologized if I hadn't come back at her with, At least I didn't give away my virginity to a guy who shaves his legs. She gasped. In confidence, Taylor had once told me that Davis shaved his legs for swim team. She was silent for a moment, and then she said, You better not wear my platforms tonight. Too late. I already am. And then I hung up. I couldn't believe her. Taylor was the crappy friend. Not me. She was the selfish one. I was so angry, my hand shook when I put on my eyeliner, and I had to rub it off and start over again. I wore Taylor's blouse and her shoes, and I pulled my hair all to one side, too. I did it because I knew it would piss her off. And then, last of all, I put on Conrad's necklace. I tucked it underneath my shirt, and then I went downstairs. Chapter 31. Welcome, I said to a boy in a Led Zeppelin t-shirt. Nice boots, I said to a girl with cowboy boots on. I made my way around the room, passing out drinks and throwing away empty cans. Conrad watched me with his arms crossed. What are you doing? He asked me. I'm trying to make everyone feel at home, I explained, adjusting Taylor's top. Susanna was an excellent hostess. She had a talent for making people feel welcome. Wanted. Taylor's words were still hanging around in the back of my head. I wasn't selfish. I was a good friend, a good hostess. I'd show her. When Travis from Video World put his feet up on the coffee table and almost knocked over a hurricane vase, I barked, Careful, and take your feet off the furniture. As an afterthought, I added, Please. I was about to go back into the kitchen for more drinks when I saw her. The girl from last summer. Nicole, the one Conrad liked, was standing in the kitchen talking to Jeremiah. She didn't have her Red Sox hat on, but I'd recognize her perfume anywhere. It smelled like vanilla extract and decomposing roses. Conrad must have seen her at the same time I did because he sucked in his breath and muttered, Shit. Did you break her heart? I asked him. I tried to sound teasing and carefree. I must have succeeded because he took me by the hand and grabbed the bottle of tequila and said, Let's get out of here. I followed him like I was in a trance, sleepwalking. Because it was like a dream, his hand in mine. We were almost home free when Jeremiah saw us. My heart just sank. He motioned us over and called out, Guys, come say hi. Conrad let go of my hand, but not the tequila. Hey, Nicole, he said, starting toward her. I grabbed a couple of beers and followed him over. Oh, hey, Conrad, Nicole said, all surprised, like she hadn't been watching the whole time we'd been in the kitchen. She got on her tiptoes and hugged him. Jeremiah caught my eye and raised his eyebrows comically. He grinned at me.
Belly, you remember Nicole, right?
I said, of course, I smiled at her. Perfect hostess, I reminded myself. Unselfish. Warily, she smiled back at me. I handed her one of the beers I was holding. Cheers, I said, opening mine.
Cheers, she echoed. We clinked cans and drank.
I drank mine fast. When I was done, I got another, and I drank that, too. Suddenly, the house felt too quiet, so I turned on the stereo. I turned the music up loud and kicked off my shoes. Susanna always said it wasn't a party without dancing. I grabbed Jeremiah, threw one arm around his neck, and danced.
Billy, he protested.
Just dance, Jer, I yelled. So he did. He was a good dancer, that Jeremiah. Other people started dancing, too, even Nicole. Not Conrad, though. But I didn't care. I barely even noticed. I danced like it was 1999. I danced like my heart was breaking. Which it kind of was. Mostly, I just swung my hair around a lot. I was pretty sweaty when I said, "Can we swim in the pool one last time?" Jeremiah said, "Screw that. Let's swim in the ocean." "Yeah!" It sounded like a great idea to me. A perfect idea. "No," Conrad said, coming out of nowhere. He was suddenly standing right beside me.
"Belly's drunk. She shouldn't swim."
I looked at him and frowned. "But I want to," I said. He laughed.
"So what?"
"Look, I'm a really good swimmer, and I'm not even drunk." I walked in a semi-straight line to prove my point.
"Sorry," he said, "but you really are."
Dumb, boring Conrad. He got so serious at the worst moments. "You're no fun." I looked over at Jeremiah, who was sitting on the floor now. "He's no fun, and he's not the boss of us. Right, everybody?" Before Jeremiah or anybody else could answer me, I made a run for the sliding doors, and then I stumbled down the steps and sprinted onto the beach. I felt like a flying comet, a streak in the sky, like I hadn't used my muscles in so long, and it felt great to stretch my legs and run. The house, all lit up with people inside, felt a million miles away. I knew he'd come after me. I didn't have to turn around to know it was him. But I did anyway.
"Come back to the house," Conrad said.
He had the bottle of tequila in his hand. I grabbed it out of his hand and took a swig like I'd done it a million times before. Like I was the kind of girl who could drink right from the bottle. I was proud of myself for not spitting it back up. I took a step toward the water, smiling big at him. I was testing him.
"Belly," he warned. "I'm telling you now. I'm not going to pull your dead body out of the ocean when you drown."
I crossed my eyes at him, and then I dipped my toe in. The water was colder than I thought it'd be. Suddenly, swimming didn't sound like such a great idea. But I hated backing down to Conrad. I hated losing to him. "Are you gonna stop me?" He sighed and looked back toward the house. I continued, took another glug of tequila. Anything to make him pay attention. "I mean, 'cause I am a stronger swimmer than you. I'm way, way faster. You probably couldn't catch me if you wanted to." He was looking at me again.
"I'm not coming after you."
"Really? You really aren't?" I took a big step. Then another. The water was up to my knees. It was low tide, and I was shivering. It was stupid. Really. I didn't even want to swim anymore. I didn't know what I was doing. Far down on the other side of the beach, somebody shot off a firecracker. It sounded like a missile. It looked like a silver weeping willow. I watched it drop down into the ocean. And just when I started to feel disappointed, just when I'd resigned myself to the fact that he didn't care, he moved toward me. He heaved me up over his shoulder. I dropped the bottle right into the ocean. "Put me down!" down, I screamed, pounding on his back.
Belly, you're drunk.
Put me down right now! And for once, he actually listened. He dropped me, right in the sand, right on my butt. Ow! That really hurt! It didn't hurt that bad, but I was mad. And more than that, I was embarrassed. I kicked sand at his back, and the wind kicked it right back at me. Jerk! I yelled, sputtering and spitting out sand. Conrad shook his head and turned away from me. His jeans were wet. He was leaving. He was really leaving. I'd ruined everything again. When I stood up, I felt so dizzy I almost fell right back down. Wait, I said, and my knees wobbled. I pushed my sandy hair out of my face and took a deep breath. I had to say it. Had to tell him. My last chance. He turned back around. His face was a closed door. Just wait a second, please. I need to tell you something. I'm really sorry for the way I acted that day. My voice was high and desperate, and I was crying, and I hated that I was crying, but I couldn't help it. I had to keep talking, because this was it. Last chance. At the funeral, I was awful to you. I was horrible, and I'm so ashamed of how I acted. It wasn't how I wanted things to go, not at all. I really, really wanted to be there for you. That's why I came to find you. Conrad blinked once, and then again.
It's fine.
I wiped my cheeks and my runny nose. I said, "Do you mean it? You forgive me?"
"Yes,"
he said.
"I forgive you. Now stop crying, all right?"
I stepped toward him, closer and closer still, and he didn't back away. We were close enough to kiss. I was holding my breath, wanting so badly for things to be like before. I took one step closer, and that's when he said,
"Let's go back. Okay?"
Conrad didn't wait for me to answer him. He just started walking away, and I followed. I felt like I was going to be sick. Just like that, the moment was over. It was an almost moment, where almost anything could have happened. But he had made it be over. Back at the house, people were swimming in the pool in their clothes. A few girls were waving sparklers around. Clay Bertolette, our neighbor, was floating along the edge of the pool in one of his wife beaters. He grabbed my ankles. "Come on, Billy, swim with me," he said. "Let go," I said, kicking him off and splashing his face in the process. I pushed my way through all the people on the deck and made my way back into the house. I accidentally stepped on some girl's foot, and she screamed. "Sorry," I said, and my voice came out sounding far away. I was so dizzy. I just wanted my bed. I crawled up the stairs with my hands, like a crab, the way I used to when I was a little kid. I fell into bed, and it was just like they say in the movies. The room was spinning. The bed was spinning, and then I remembered all the stupid stuff I said. And I started to cry. I made a real fool of myself out on that beach. It was devastating. All of it. Susanna gone. The thought of this house not being ours anymore. Me giving Conrad the chance to reject me one more time. Taylor was right. I was a masochist. I lay on my side and hugged my knees to my chest and wept. Everything was wrong, and most of all, me. Suddenly, I just wanted my mother. I reached across the bed for the phone on my nightstand. The numbers lit up in the darkness. My mother picked up on the fourth ring.
Her voice was drowsy and familiar in a way that made me cry harder. More than anything in the world, I wanted to reach inside the phone and bring her here. "Mommy," I said. My voice came out a croak. "Billy, what's wrong? Where are you?"
"I'm at Susanna's, at the summer house."
"What? What are you doing at the summer house?"
"Mr. Fisher's gonna sell it. He's gonna sell it, and Conrad is so sad, and Mr. Fisher doesn't even care. He just wants to get rid of it. He wants to get rid of her."
"Belly, slow down. I can't hear what you're saying.
Just come, okay? Just please come and fix it."
And then I hung up, because suddenly the phone felt very heavy in my hand. I felt like I was on a merry-go-round, and not in a good way. Somebody was setting off fireworks outside, and it felt like my head was pounding right along with them. Then I closed my eyes, and it was worse. But my eyelids felt heavy, too, and soon I was asleep. Chapter 32. Jeremiah. Pretty soon after Belly went up to bed, I cleared everybody out and it was just Conrad and me. He was lying face down on the couch. He'd been lying there since he and Belly came back from the beach. They were both wet and sandy. Belly was wasted, and she'd been crying, I could tell. Her eyes were red. Conrad's fault, no doubt about that. People had tracked sand inside and it was all over the floor. There were bottles and cans everywhere, and somebody had sat on the couch in a wet towel, and now the cushion had a big orange spot. I flipped it over. "The house is a wreck," I said, falling onto the lazy boy. "Dad will freak out if he sees it like this tomorrow." Conrad didn't open his eyes.
"Whatever. We'll clean it in the morning."
I stared at him, just feeling pissed. I was sick of cleaning up his messes. "It's gonna take us hours." Then he opened his eyes.
"You're the one who invited everybody over."
He had a point. The party had been my idea. It wasn't the mess I was pissed about. It was Belly. Him and her. Together. It made me sick. "Your jeans are wet," I said. "You're getting sand all over the couch." Conrad sat up, rubbed his eyes.
"What's your problem?"
I couldn't take it anymore. I started to get up, but then I sat back down. "What the hell happened outside with you guys?"
"Nothing."
"What does that mean, nothing?"
"Nothing means nothing. Just leave it, Jer."
I hated it when he got like that, all stoic and detached, especially when I was mad. He'd always been like that, but it was more and more these days. When our mom died, he changed. Conrad didn't give two shits about anything or anyone anymore. I wondered if that included Belly. I had to know. About him and her. How he really felt, what he was going to do about it. It was the not knowing that killed a guy. So I asked him flat out, "Do you still like her?" He stared at me. I'd shocked the hell out of him. I could tell. We'd never talked about her before. Not like this. It was probably a good thing that I'd caught him off guard. Maybe he'd tell the truth. If he said yes, it was over. If he said yes, I would give her up. I could live with that. If it were anyone but Conrad, I'd have tried anyway. I'd have given it one last shot. Instead of answering the question, he said, "Do you?" I could feel myself turn red. "I'm not the one who took her to the freaking prom." Conrad thought that over, and then said, "I only took her because she asked me to." "Con, do you like her or not, man?" I hesitated for about 2 seconds, and then I just went for it. "Because I do. I like her. I really like her. Do you?" He didn't blink. Didn't even hesitate.
No.
It really pissed me off. He was full of shit. He liked her. He more than liked her, but he couldn't admit it. Wouldn't man up. Conrad would never be that guy. The kind of guy Belly needed. Someone who would be there for her. Someone she could count on. I could. If she'd let me, I could be that guy. I was pissed at him. But I had to admit I was relieved, too. No matter how many times he hurt her, I knew that if he wanted her back, she was his. She always had been. But maybe now that Conrad wasn't standing in the way, she'd see me there, too.
Chapter 33. July 5th. Belly! I tried to roll over, but then I heard it again. Louder. Belly! Someone was shaking me awake. I opened my eyes. It was my mother. She had dark circles around her eyes, and her mouth had all but disappeared into a thin line. She was wearing her house sweats, the ones she never left the house in, not even to go to the gym. What in the world was she doing at the summer house? There was a beeping sound that at first I thought was the alarm clock, but then I realized that I had knocked the phone over and it was the busy signal I was hearing. And then I remembered. I'd drunk dialed my mother. I'd brought her here. I sat up, my head pounding so hard it felt like my heart was hammering inside it. So this was what a hangover felt like. I'd left my contacts in and my eyes were burning. There was sand all over the bed and some was stuck on my feet. My mother stood up. She was one big blur. You have 5 minutes to pack up your stuff. Wait. What? We're leaving. But I can't leave yet. I still have to... It was like she couldn't hear me, like I was on mute. She started picking my things up off the floor, throwing Taylor's sandals and shorts into my overnight bag. Mom, stop! Just stop for a minute! We're leaving in 5 minutes, she repeated, looking around the room. Just listen to me for a second. I had to come. Jeremiah and Conrad needed me. The look on my mother's face made me stop short. I'd never seen her angry like this before. And you didn't feel the need to tell me about it. Beck asked me to look after her boys. How can I do that when I don't even know they need my help? If they were in trouble, you should have told me. Instead, you chose to lie to me. You lied. I didn't want to lie to you, I started to say. She kept on going. You've been here doing God knows what. I stared at her. I couldn't believe she'd just said that. What does that mean? God knows what. My mother whirled around, her eyes all wild. What am I supposed to think? You snuck out here with Conrad before, and you spent the night. So you tell me, what are you doing here with him? Because it looks to me like you lied to me so you could come here and get drunk and fool around with your boyfriend. I hated her. I hated her so much. He's not my boyfriend! You don't know anything! The vein in my mother's forehead was pulsing. You call me at 4 in the morning. Drunk. I call your cell phone and it goes straight to voicemail. I call the house phone and all I get is a busy signal. I drive all night, worried out of my mind, and I get here and the house is a wreck. Beer cans everywhere, trash all over the place. What the hell do you think you're doing, Isabel? Or do you even know? The walls in the house were really thin. Everyone could probably hear everything. I said, we were going to clean it up. This was our last night here. Don't you get it? Mr. Fisher is selling the house. Don't you care? She shook her head, her jaw tight. Do you really think you've helped matters by meddling? This isn't
our business. How many times do I have to explain that to you? It is so our business. Susanna would have wanted us to save this house. Don't talk to me about what Susanna would have wanted, my mother snapped. Now put your clothes on and get your things. We're leaving. No. I pulled the covers up to my shoulders. What? I said no. I'm not going. I stared up at my mother as defiantly as I could, but I could feel my chin trembling. She marched over to the bed and ripped the sheets right off of me. She grabbed my arm, pulled me out of the bed and toward the door, and I twisted away from her. You can't make me go, I sobbed. You can't tell me anything. You don't have the right. My tears did not move my mother. They only made her angrier. She said, you're acting like a spoiled brat. Can't you look beyond your own grief and think about someone else? It's not all about you. We all lost Beck. Feeling sorry for yourself isn't helping anything. Her words stung me so badly, I wanted to hurt her back a million times worse. So I said the thing I knew would hurt her most. I said, I wish Susanna was my mother and not you. How many times had I thought it, wished for it secretly? When I was little, Susanna was the one I ran to, not her. I used to wonder what it would be like to have a mom like Susanna who loved me for me and wasn't disappointed in all the ways that I didn't measure up. I was breathing hard as I waited for my mother to respond, to cry, to scream at me. She didn't do either of those things. Instead, she said, how unfortunate for you. Even when I tried my hardest, I couldn't get the reaction I wanted from my mother. She was impenetrable. I said, Susanna will never forgive you for this, you know, for losing her house, for letting down her boys. My mother's hand reached out and struck my cheek so hard I rocked back. I didn't see it coming. I clutched my face and right away I cried, but part of me was satisfied. I finally got what I wanted, proof that she could feel something. Her face was white. She had never hit me before. Never ever. Not in my whole life. I waited for her to say she was sorry, to say she didn't mean to hurt me. She didn't mean the things she'd said. If she said those things, then I would say them too, because I was sorry. I didn't mean the things I said. When she didn't speak, I backed away from her and then around her, holding my face. Then I ran out of the room, stumbling over my feet. Jeremiah was standing in the hallway, looking at me with his mouth open. He looked at me like he didn't recognize me, like he didn't know who this person was. This girl who screamed at her mother and said terrible things. Wait, he said, reaching out to stop me. I pushed past him and moved down the stairs. In the living room, Conrad was picking up beer bottles and tossing them into a blue recycling bag. He didn't look at me. I knew he'd heard everything, too. I ran out the back door, and then I almost tripped going down the stairs that headed down to the beach. I sank to the ground and sat in the sand, holding my burning cheek in the palm of my hand. And then I threw up. I heard Jeremiah come up behind me. I knew it was him right away, because Conrad would know not to follow me. I just want to be alone, I said, wiping my mouth. I didn't turn around. I didn't want him to see my face. Billy, he started. He sat down next to me and kicked sand over my throw-up. When he didn't say anything more, I looked at him. What? He bit his upper lip. Then he reached out and touched my cheek. His fingers felt warm.
He looked so sad. He said, "You should just go with your mom."
Whatever I'd been expecting him to say, it hadn't been that. I'd come all this way, and I'd gotten in so much trouble just so I could help him and Conrad, and now he wanted me to leave? Tears welled up in the corners of my eyes, and I wiped them away with the back of my hands. Why?
Because Laurel's really upset. Everything's gone to crap, and it's my fault. I never should have asked you to come. I'm sorry.
I'm not leaving.
Pretty soon, we'll all have to.
And that's it? He shrugged.
Yeah, I guess it is.
We sat in the sand for a while. I had never felt more lost. I cried a little more, and Jeremiah didn't say anything, which I was grateful for. There was nothing worse than your friend watching you cry after you just got in trouble with your mother. When I was done, he stood up and gave me his hand.
"Come on,"
he said, pulling me to my feet. We went back inside the house. Conrad was gone, and the living room was clean. My mother was mopping the kitchen floor. When she saw me, she stopped. She put the mop back into the bucket and leaned it against the wall. Right in front of Jeremiah, she said,
"I'm sorry."
I looked at him, and he backed out of the kitchen and went up the stairs. I almost stopped him. I didn't want to be alone with her. I was afraid. She continued,
"You're right. I've been absent. I've been so consumed with my own grief, I haven't reached out to you. I'm sorry for that."
"Mom," I started to say. I was about to tell her I was sorry, too, for saying that thing before, that awful thing I wished I could take back. But she lifted her hand up and stopped me.
"I'm just off balance. Ever since Beck died, I can't seem to find my equilibrium."
She rested her head against the wall. "I've been coming here with Beck since I was younger than you are now. I love this house. You know that."
"I know," I said. "I didn't mean it, what I said before."
My mother nodded.
"Let's sit down a minute, all right?"
She sat down at the kitchen table, and I took a seat across from her.
"I shouldn't have hit you," she said, and her voice broke. "I'm sorry."
"You never did that before."
"I know."
My mother reached across the table and took my hand in hers, tight as a cocoon. At first I felt stiff, but then I let her comfort me. Because I could see it was a comfort to her, too. We sat like that for what felt like a long time. When she let go, she said,
"You lied to me, Belly."
"You never lied to me. I didn't mean to. But Conrad and Jeremiah are important to me. They needed me, so I went."
"I wish you would have told me."
"Beck's boys are important to me, too. If something's going on, I want to know about it. Okay?" I nodded. Then she said, "Are you all packed?
I want to beat Sunday traffic on the way back."
I stared at her. "Mom, we can't just leave. Not with everything that's happening. You can't let Mr. Fisher sell the house. You just can't." She sighed.
"I don't know that I can say anything to change his mind, Belly. Adam and I don't see eye to eye on a lot of things. I can't stop him from selling the house if that's what he's set on."
"You can. I know you can. He'll listen to you. Conrad and Jeremiah, they need this house. They need it." I set my head down on the table, and the wood was cool and smooth against my cheek. My mother touched the top of my head.
running her hand through my tangled hair. "I'll call him," she said at last. "Now get upstairs and take a shower." Hopefully, I looked up at her, and I saw the firm set of her mouth and the narrow of her eyes. And I knew it wasn't over yet. If anybody could make things right, it was my mother. Chapter 34 Jeremiah.
There was this time. I think I was 13 and Belly was 11, about to turn 12. She'd caught a summer cold, and she was miserable. She was camped out on the couch with balled-up tissues all around her, and she'd been wearing the same ratty pajamas for days. Because she was sick, she got to pick whatever TV show she wanted to watch. The only thing she could eat were grape popsicles, and when I reached for one, my mother said that Belly should have it, even though she'd already had three. I got stuck with a yellow one. It was afternoon, and Conrad and Steven had hitchhiked to the arcade, which I wasn't supposed to know about. The moms thought they were riding their bikes to the tackle shop for more rubber worms. I was going to go boarding with Clay, and I had my swim trunks on and a towel around my neck when I ran into my mom in the kitchen. "What are you up to, Jer?" she asked. I made a hang ten sign. "I'm going to go boarding with Clay. See ya!" I was about to push the sliding door open when she said,
You know what?"
Suspiciously, I asked, "What?"
"It might be nice if you stayed inside today and cheered up Belly. Poor thing could use some cheering up."
"Aw, Mom,
please, Jeremiah."
I sighed. I didn't want to stay home and cheer up Belly. I wanted to go boarding with Clay. When I didn't say anything, she added, "We can grill out tonight. I'll let you be in charge of the burgers." I sighed again, louder this time. My mom still thought that letting me fire up the grill and flip hamburgers was a big treat for me. Not that it wasn't fun, but still. I opened my mouth to say, "No thanks." But then I saw the fond, happy look on her face. The way she just knew I would say yes. So I did. "Fine," I said. I went back upstairs and changed out of my swim trunks, and then I joined Belly in the TV room. I sat as far away from her as I could. The last thing I needed was to catch her cold and be sidelined for a week.
"Why are you still here?" she asked, blowing her nose.
"It's too hot outside," I said. "Want to watch a movie?"
"It's not that hot outside."
"How would you know if you haven't been out there?" She narrowed her eyes.
"Did your Bob make you stay inside with me?"
"No," I said.
"Ha!"
Belly grabbed the remote and changed the channel. "I know you're lying."
"I am not."
Blowing her nose loudly, she said,
"ESP, remember?"
"That's not real. Can I have the remote?" She shook her head and held the remote to her chest, protectively.
"No! My gerbs are all over it. Sorry. Is there any more toast bread?"
Toast bread was what we called the bread my mom bought at the farmer's market. It came sliced, and it was white and thick and a little bit sweet. I'd had the last three slices of toast bread that morning. I'd slathered it with butter and blackberry jam, and I'd eaten it really fast before anyone else got up. With four kids and two adults, bread went really fast. It was every man for himself. "No more toast bread left," I said.
"Conrad and Steven are such pigs," she said, sniffling.
Guiltily, I said, "I thought all you wanted to eat were grape popsicles." She shrugged.
"When I woke up this morning, I wanted toast bread. I think maybe I'm getting better."
She didn't look any better to me. Her eyes were swollen, and her skin looked grayish, and I don't think she'd washed her hair in days because it was all stringy and matted looking. "Maybe you should take a shower," I said. "My mom says you always feel better after you take a shower.
Are you saying I smell?
No. I looked out the window. It was a clear day. No clouds. I bet Clay was having a blast. I bet Steven and Conrad were, too. Conrad had emptied out his old first-grade piggy bank and found a ton of quarters. I'd bet they'd be at the arcade all afternoon. I wondered how long Clay was going to be outside. I might be able to catch him in a few hours. It'd still be light out. I guess Belly caught me staring out the window because she said, in this really snotty voice, "Just go if you want to." I said I didn't, I snapped. Then I took a breath. My mom wouldn't like it if I made Belly upset when she was all sick like this. And she really did look lonely. I kind of felt sorry for her, being stuck inside all day. Summer colds sucked more than anything. So I said, "Do you want me to teach you how to play poker?"
"You don't know how to play," she scoffed. "Conrad beats you every time."
"Fine," I said. I stood up. I didn't feel that sorry for her.
"Never mind," she said. "You can teach me."
I sat back down. "Pass the cards," I said gruffly. I could tell Belly felt bad because she said,
"You shouldn't sit too close. You'll get sick, too."
"That's okay," I said. "I never get sick."
"Neither does Conrad," she said,
and I rolled my eyes. Belly worshipped Conrad, just like Steven did. Conrad does get sick. He gets sick all the time in the winter. He has a weak immune system, I told her, although I didn't know if that was true or not. She shrugged, but I could tell she didn't believe me. She handed me the cards.
"Just deal," she said.
We played poker all afternoon, and it was actually pretty fun. I got sick 2 days later, but I didn't mind that much. Billy stayed home with me, and we played more poker, and we watched The Simpsons a lot.
Chapter 35 Jeremiah.
As soon as I heard Belly come up the stairs, I met her in the hallway. "So, what's going on?"
"My mom's calling your dad," she said gravely.
"She is? Wow."
"Yeah, so don't, like, give up already. It's not over yet."
Then she gave me one of her wrinkly nose smiles. I clapped her on the back and practically sprinted down the stairs. There was Laurel, wiping down the counter. When she saw me, she said, "Your father's coming over for breakfast."
"Here?"
Laurel nodded. "Will you go to the store and get some things he likes? Eggs and bacon, muffin mix, and those big grapefruit." Laurel hated to cook. She had definitely never made my dad a lumberjack breakfast.
"Why are you cooking for him?" I asked.
"Because he's a child, and children are cranky when they haven't been fed," she said in that dry way of hers. Out of nowhere, I said, "Sometimes I hate him." She hesitated before saying, "Sometimes I do, too." And then I waited for her to say, "But he is your father, the way my mom used to." Laurel didn't, though. Laurel was no bullshit. She didn't say things she didn't mean. All she said was, "Now get going." I got up and gave her a bear hug, and she was stiff in my arms. I lifted her up in the air a little, the way I used to do with my mom. "Thanks, Laura," I said. "Really, thanks. I'd do anything for you boys. You know that."
"How did you know to come?"
"Belly called me," she said. She narrowed her eyes at me. "Drunk."
"Oh, man," I thought.
"Lore, don't you lore me. How could you let her drink? I count on you, Jeremiah. You know that." Now I felt awful, too. The last thing I wanted was for Belly to get in trouble, and I really hated the thought of Laurel thinking badly of me. I'd always tried so hard to look out for Belly, unlike Conrad. If anyone had corrupted her, it was Conrad. Not me. Even though I was the one who bought the tequila, not him. I said, "I'm really sorry."
It's just that with my dad selling the house and it being our last night, we got carried away. I swear, Lore, it'll never happen again. She rolled her eyes. It'll never happen again.
Don't make promises you can't keep, hon.
It'll never happen again on my watch, I told her. Pursing her lips, she said,
We'll see.
I was relieved when she gave me another grimace smile. Hurry up and get to the store, will you?
Aye, aye, sir.
I wanted her to smile for real. I knew that if I kept trying, kept joking, she would. She was easy that way. This time, she really did smile back at me.
Chapter 36. My mother was right. The shower helped. I tilted my face toward the shower head and let the hot water wash over me, and I felt much, much better. After my shower, I came back downstairs, a new woman. My mother was wearing lipstick, and she and Conrad were talking in low voices. They stopped talking when they saw me standing in the doorway. Much better, my mother said. Where's Jeremiah? I asked. Jeremiah went back to the store. He forgot the grapefruit, she said. The timer went off, and my mother took muffins out of the oven with a dish towel. She accidentally touched the muffin tin with her bare hand, and she yelped and dropped the tin on the floor, muffin side down. Damn! Conrad asked if she was okay before I could. I'm fine, she said, running cold water over her hand. Then she picked the tin back up and set it on the counter, on top of the towel. I sat down on one of the counter stools and watched my mother empty the muffin tin into a basket.
Our little secret, she said.
The muffins were supposed to cool a little while before you took them out of the tin, but I didn't tell her that. A few were smushed, but they mostly looked okay. Have a muffin, she said. I took one, and it was burning hot and falling apart, but it was good. I ate it quickly. When I was done, my mother said, You and Conrad take the recycling out. Without a word, Conrad picked up two of the heavier bags and left me the half-empty one. I followed him outside to the trash cans at the end of the driveway.
Did you call her?
He asked me.
I guess I did.
I waited for him to call me a baby for calling my mommy the second things got scary. He didn't. Instead, he said,
Thanks.
I stared at him. Sometimes you surprise me, I said. He didn't look at me when he said,
And you hardly ever surprise me. You're still the same.
I glared at him. Thanks a lot. I dumped my garbage bag in the bin and shut the lid a little too hard.
No, I mean...
I waited for him to say something, and it seemed like he might have, but then Jeremiah's car came down the street. We both watched Jeremiah park and then bound out of the car with a plastic grocery bag. He strode up to us, his eyes bright.
Hey,
he said to me, his bag swinging. Hey, I said. I couldn't even look him in the eye. It had all come back to me when I was in the shower. Making Jeremiah dance with me? Running away from Conrad, and him picking me up and dropping me in the sand? How humiliating. How awful that they saw me behave that way. Then Jeremiah gave my hand a squeeze, and when I looked up at him, he said, Thank you. So sweetly, it hurt. The three of us walked back to the house. The police were singing Message in a Bottle, and the stereo was very loud. Right away, my head started pounding, and all I wanted was to go back to bed. Can we turn down that music? I asked, rubbing my temples. Nope, my mother said, taking the bag from Jeremiah. She pulled out a big grapefruit and tossed it to Conrad. Squeeze, she said, pointing at the juicer. The juicer was Mr. Fisher's, and it was huge and complicated, one of those Jack LaLanne ones from the late-night infomercials. Conrad snorted.
For him? I'm not squeezing his grapefruit.
Yes, you will. To me, my mother said, Mr. Fisher's coming to breakfast. I squealed. I ran over to her and wrapped my arms around her waist. It's just breakfast, she warned me. Don't go getting your hopes up. But it was too late. I knew she'd change his mind. I knew it. And so did Jeremiah and Conrad. They believed in my mother, and so did I. never more so than when Conrad started cutting the grapefruit in half. My mother nodded at him like a drill sergeant. Then she said, "Jer, you set the table, and Belly, you do the eggs." I started cracking eggs into a bowl, and my mother fried bacon in Susanna's cast-iron skillet. She left the bacon grease for me to fry the eggs in. I stirred the eggs around, and the smell of the eggs and the grease made me want to gag. I held my breath as I stirred, and my mother tried to hide a smile as she watched me.
"Feeling okay, Belly?"
she asked. I nodded, my teeth clenched.
"Ever planning on drinking again?"
she asked conversationally. I shook my head as hard as I could. Never, ever again. When Mr. Fisher arrived half an hour later, we were ready for him. He walked in and looked at the table in amazement.
"Wow,"
he said.
"This looks great, Lore. Thank you."
He gave her a meaningful look, the adult co-conspiratorial kind of look. My mother smiled, a Mona Lisa kind of smile. Mr. Fisher wasn't going to know what hit him. "Let's sit," she said. We all sat down then. My mother sat next to Mr. Fisher and Jeremiah across from him. I sat next to Conrad. "Dig in," my mother said. I watched Mr. Fisher pile a mound of eggs on his plate and then four strips of bacon. He loved bacon, and he really loved it the way my mother made it.